Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Brandon, do you remember your first shower?
I don't think I do. I'm sure my dad pulled me in there and said, "This is the lay of the land."
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't have a particular memory of it. I think it was probably fairly seamless, I guess.
My first shower experience was not seamless.
It had seams.
It had many seams. Uh-oh. So my mom told me and my younger sister, "All right, girls, time for you babies to learn how to shower like big girls. So you're going to get in the shower with your older sister. She'll show you the ropes, right? Because the tub, you get in, you dunk, good to go, clean as a whistle. A shower, it involves a lot more moving parts. So my sister, my big sister, is in there washing her long hair, teaching us how to do it all. Then she takes the bar of soap. It is so great. It is leprechaun green, which is a hint.
Mm-hmm.
She says, "Girls, you need to wash the undercarriage. We're not submerged in a bathtub where the water just does all the work. You got to put some TLC in."
As though it's the bottom of a 1969 Mustang.
Some elbow grease.
Oh, boy.
So I take that fluorescent green bar of soap and I stick it down there to clean myself. Girl, burning and itching straight away. I'm crying, I'm screaming, I'm freaking out. This is the most uncomfortable feeling. Pain, pain, pain. Turns out I had taken the Irish Spring bar of soap, which was my big brother's, and used it on myself. And Irish Spring, I think if there's one thing we can say about it, it is not for the girls.
It's an aggressive soap.
It's like cologne in lye form.
Yeah.
Thought I was dying. So then, you know, I'm crying. They get out of the shower, my sisters, and my mom's like, "Oh, God, Gabby didn't get it right. I gotta run her a bath."
Because you're hollering.
I'm hooting and hollering. So my mom runs me a bath so that I can just kind of crouch down in there and get submerged and just, I don't know, get pH'd balanced again. So yeah, my first shower was a real horrifying experience. And that has stuck with me. Mm-hmm. Like I had to go back to the bath.
Yeah, you regressed.
No doubt.
So that might be your origin story for why is Amy in the bath. If mine was just seeing Amy Adams in all these bathing scenes, yours actually goes much further back.
Yeah, it's real hero's journey stuff. Like it was a rite of passage, but it ended in a failure to launch.
Yeah, it really did. Now, if I may act as an unlicensed psychotherapist for just a minute, you're really identifying the essential difference between the bathtub and the shower. The tub is, as we've talked about a bunch, it's a place for infants. It's for play or relaxation. It's timeless. Whereas the shower is for those children and adults who have become working stiffs, you know? It's bathing with purpose, capital P. It's efficient.
Well, if there's good water pressure.
Yeah, of course. And it's conscious of time, yours, or more importantly, the world's.
Right. The shower is more technologically advanced. So, like, there's a progression forward in civilization of, what, 4,500 years?
Give or take 4,500 years. Sure, tubs is old as a bowl in the ground that someone could fill with water and sit and think about their mistakes. But what made it all go wrong for you is that you were given, or that you chose, the wrong product. And then you used it wrong.
Very wrong. So wrong.
Yes. And it was painful enough that you had to revert to the infant state. But I blame the product. That'll be $60.
Bill me, as usual. Like it or not, we figured out that this is the point of this episode, as we're getting closer to the end of this series, to figure out what I did wrong, or how I was led astray, and how in one way or another, we're all kind of causing ourselves pain in the pursuit of pleasure, or cleanliness, or efficiency, or just like being acceptable to the world. We've been arguing that tubs are inherently prestigious. We've heard from scholars who say the tub is interesting for a bunch of reasons. It's like a womb, it's an opportunity to sit still and let the mind wander. So in this episode, we're gonna switch it up. We're gonna zero in on the socioeconomic forces that have made the bathroom and the beautiful freestanding tub in particular the locus of control for 21st century women, who probably feel a lack of control beyond that porcelain perfection in our messy work lives, political lives, romantic lives. So we'll investigate how movies and TV, product lines and ad campaigns teach 21st century women how to be.
And this all connects neatly to the questions we want answered. Why is this the century of tubs? And, of course, why is Amy in the bath?
And how come for all her trauma, she never grabbed the wrong ass soap?
Yeah.
Part of the horror of my first shower was I was not a good consumer in that moment. My Irish Spring was a total failure. It was the opposite of wellness.
Yeah. It was supposed to be functional, but also transformative. But you didn't have the right product for the job.
Yeah, you know what I needed, Brandon? I needed Goop Martini Bath Salt.
Yeah, you did.
This is the martini. We call it the emotional detox bath. And this is one of my absolute favorite products that we make. I bathe in this every single night. And we named it the martini for two reasons. One, the martini, but also when you're doing a film, the martini is what they call the very last shot of the day.
Gwyneth Paltrow is hawking this stuff. She is showering with it every day and making boku bucks while doing it. My Irish Spring and Gwynny Hawking Goop bath products, those are the two sides of femininity for me.
Yeah, the pleasure and the pain.
The pleasure and the pain. So Gwyneth's company came along right at the perfect moment to capitalize on and promote this larger wellness trend. She started Goop as a newsletter in 2008, turned it into a proper company in 2011, which was a year after Instagram hit the App Store, mind you. So she was the perfect avatar for wellness. She was the child of our worst pathologies.
Yes. She was a Nepo baby before there was even a term for it. She was a monster created by Harvey Weinstein, who, as we all know, or maybe know, hijacked the Oscar campaign so that she won Best Actress in 99 for Shakespeare in Love, which, you know, I watched recently and it's actually not a bad movie. Tom Stoppard.
Yeah, well, nothing stoppered Gwyneth from turning the brand into a one-stop shop for, like, millennial aspirational Instagram culture and girl boss feminism.
And jade eggs.
Jade eggs. Yeah, real problematic Secrets of the Orient stuff going on there. Not unlike good old palm olive, palm and olive oils from Cleopatra's day to make your complexion glow. So anyways, the jade egg you insert in your no-no square and you do like Kegels with it, I don't know. Irish Spring, aka Jade Egg.
And from their product line, you know, as a man of science, I do have a personal fave, which is the biofrequency stickers designed to correct energy imbalances. Goop said the stickers use the same carbon material NASA uses to line spacesuits, to which I believe a former NASA scientist said on the record, and I quote, "Wow, what a load of BS."
Goop has weathered its fair share of lawsuits and official complaints from various agencies. I'm going to say Gwynny is the Willy Wonka of wellness.
Absolutely. If he was operating today, that factory would be shut down. All the missing children and deformed children. I mean, come on. Health code violations, false advertising.
I assume there's an accident indemnity clause.
Never between friends.
Yeah, he was making up words. Scrumdiddlyumptious. Like, it's pleasing to the ear, but it's toxic to your gut microbiome.
You've really thought a lot about this. Yeah. So both Gwenny and Wonka use psycho-spiritual language to hawk their wares. Goop Action Juice is just the new fizzy lifting drink. Yeah, Goop says that self-care should be a pleasure as opposed to an Irish Spring-type pain. And importantly, it conflates mental health with a more traditional standard of beauty. So the feel-good, look-good is conflated. You can't have one without the other. And of course, you need a suite of expensive products to get you there. In other words, a lifestyle brand.
But Gwenny is just the celebrity face of wellness, which Phyllis Thompson, a gender and sexuality historian at Harvard, thinks has been around in its modern form since the early 2000s. It takes the diet and beauty culture of the late 20th century, adds crunchy language like self-actualization.
Self-actualization, what a thing.
A dirty word. We pretend it's about being healthy, but really wellness is just a substitute for actually being well.
Instead of eliminating or reducing the burden of beauty standards, we dug in. Wellness did not allow suddenly for people to spend no time on their grooming. It slightly shifted what the activities should be and what the spiritual framing of them should be. But it didn't reduce the amount of time or money, and in many cases, it increased both.
Phyllis, not surprisingly, thinks it's kind of bullshit.
Empowerment is it's a weak goal. It's how you feel. It doesn't give you the power to remake the world, to create change.
You know, the good news for me is that this is finally a conspiracy that I didn't come up with. The timeless, beautifying leisure time of the bathtub really just disguises how, under those expensive bubbles, there's a combination of the social pressure to look good with the economic reward for looking good.
Those two things have knit together, and I see the bath as a perfect symbol of that conflation.
This isn't exactly new. Decades before Gwyneth's martini bath salt, there was a little something called Calgon bath powder.
The traffic.
I can't read
the
that.
The boss. The baby. The dog. That does it. Calgon, take me away.
Lose your cares in the luxury of a Calgon bath. Calgon softens.
Traffic, bosses, kids, dogs. The four horsemen of the 1970s lady.
Calgon Take Me Away was a cultural moment, right? That was a brand that taught us that if you want to be left the fuck alone, get in your damn bathtub.
And that's Rebecca Lavoie, reporter, co-host of the podcast Crime Writers On, and, if I may say, a notorious potty mouth. But despite all her swears, Rebecca did point us to good old Calgon as an example of the bathtub's long history as an aspirational object for women just looking to steal some leisure time from, I guess from the traffic that was right outside the bathroom door.
Yeah, and now wellness and Goop are an evolution of those old ads. Calgon is all about buying personal time for a regular middle-class mom, a temporary escape into, quote, luxury. But Goop is pushing this luxury as a full-time, holistic deal, an entire aspirational lifestyle ground up into whatever the hell Gwyneth's martini powder is.
It smells amazing. It's got frankincense and myrrh, and it's really special.
Frankincense and myrrh.
Yeah, or Oompa Loompas.
Oompa Loompas.
We don't know, and they're not telling.
It's a lovely orange shade.
There you go.
If Calgon is a momentary visit to self-care, then Goop and wellness generally promises self-care end-to-end, if you have the money. But it works because self-care language, way less icky than old classist leisure lingo.
There's nothing like hot milk before bedtime.
Introducing Calgon Foaming Milk Bath with milk and baby oil to soften you all over. Treat yourself to hot milk tonight. Let new Calgon Foaming Milk Bath take you away.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
So that's a fantasy, the idea of escapism. There's no escaping anything. Which, of course, is a perfect echo of the entertainment world in general. I mean, it's all about escapism. And there's a male corollary to this, too, that involves the tub.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's a little thing we like to call Cialis.
Oh.
Yeah.
An everyday moment can turn romantic at a moment's notice.
Everybody remembers this commercial. I mean, there was Viagra, and then Cialis came after that, so to speak. And the prominent image from the... There you go. But obviously, pharmaceutical ads are inherently insane by virtue of the fact that they even exist. If you watch network television, cable, anything, every other commercial is some obscure drug thing. Now most of it is Ozempic and spinoffs. But in the United States, it's legal to have those. And the United States is the only country in the world that does those ads, other than, I think, New Zealand.
Everybody, oh, is that right?
Yeah.
That is insane.
It is insane. They're saying the consumer is the best person to determine what kind of medicine they should be on and for what reason. Mm. So they appeal to them directly with these commercials. And then the consumer goes to their doctor and says, I want this. There's a lot of absurdity in those things, but the boner pill ads are always the most insane because obviously they have to do the most winking and being suggestive.
Yeah.
And in the Cialis ads from the early 2000s, again, around the time that the tubs really started to boom,
mm-hmm.
you had one where there's, you know, two middle-aged people in a kitchen. She's doing something with a bowl of apples, and he is going to hand her a paring knife or something like that.
A bowl of apples.
A bowl of apples. So anyway, they're making some kind of weekend fruit salad. That's the kind of crazy liberals those guys are. And their eyes meet.
Yeah.
As they turn...
She offers him an apple. He yeah. loses his soul. They're kicked out of paradise.
That's right. That's the implication. They both look at each other. There's a message that's communicated without words. It's the long, deep-seated love of a stable relationship. And then, of course, you have the narrator who explains, when these opportunities arise, you want to be ready to go.
Or he just says, how about them apples?
That would at least be more honest. And what's left unsaid and certainly unfilmed is that he takes her right there on the kitchen
oh
island.
My God, yeah.
Yeah.
These are like old people, too.
Yeah, they're doing it. But that's all just the setup. You know, the big money shot, so to speak, is it's always the couple sitting in two side-by-side clawfoot tubs in
yep.
some incongruous space where it's, you know, on a cliff overlooking the Monterey Bay with the rocks crashing. And they're in two separate tubs, and they're holding hands, and you see them from behind. And then, of course, the joke that everyone has is, well, how in the hell are they going to have sex in these two tubs? The idea is the tub is actually preventing you from, you know, being a good consumer of the product, or at least fulfilling
sure,
the promise
yeah.
of the product. When I think of those commercials, Gabby,
okay,
you know what I think of?
You think of them often?
A lot. They haunt my dreams.
Okay.
But it reminds me of something very particular. You know what that is?
No.
Batman v Superman,
oh.
starring Amy Adams as
oh.
Lois Lane.
Mm-hmm.
She's in the tub, considering the origins of an experimental bullet. Superman comes in as Clark Kent.
Think of what could have happened.
He's bought some groceries. Same idea. It's not a kitchen island, but there is a little bit of a moment there.
Yeah.
And that, to me, seems like a true postmodern Cialis ad.
I just don't know if it's possible.
I don't know if what's possible.
For you to love me and be you.
Are you going to fly to the apartment?
Mm-hmm.
So, what's the weekend to hold in store for you? Ask your doctor if a free sample of prescription Cialis is right for you. Cialis, are you ready?
Damn it, Brandon.
So the last 20-odd years of wellness brands are one reason we see these luxurious bathtubs and showers sold to women in the form of, you know, thrillers and trauma, like we were talking about in the last episode. But there's another source for all this aspirational suffering.
Bus driver, move that bus!
All it takes is some faith.
Do you have the guts to take on a fixer-upper?
We are going to
love it.
Mm-hmm. Home improvement shows. Who can forget Ty Pennington's Frosted Tips?
That's right.
And that one was fun because there was like a virtuous bent to it.
Right.
So like the whole neighborhood would come together and pitch in to help Ty and the crew transform some family's home in just 7 days.
Yeah.
You know, Extreme Makeover Home Edition is still kind of going strong. They just rebooted it with the Home Edit women. And guess which celebrity they organized multiple homes for? Gwyneth
Don't
Paltrow.
You tell me Gwyneth Paltrow, I'll scream.
Guess which celebrity production company acquired the Home Edit in 2022?
Don't you tell me Hello Sunshine.
Hello Don't Sunshine.
You. Hello Sunshine? Hi, it's the...
Hello Sunshine.
Hi, it's the moon.
Hello Darkness, my old friend. More like it. And just last month, the Home Edit girls took over Extreme Makeover Home Edition on ABC. Nothing new under the sun.
But you know, actually, the ones I like the most are the ones where the host's personality disorders or interpersonal conflicts are front-loaded or even built into the title. The one I was weaned on was Flipping Out, where he's just getting into fights with people all the time. But then there's also the Flip-Off, which is a spinoff of a spinoff of something. Two exes are doing some kind of thing together.
Oh.
And of course, Lil Jon wants to do what?
Lil Jon had a home makeover show?
Yeah. He's a makeover guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the modern face of home improvement shows. But like so many other things we talked about, its origins are in not the ancient past, but the not so close past.
Yeah. Home improvement shows started with their own version of Calgon, Bob Vila's This Old House.
This Old House. God bless.
They really came into their own in the mid-90s when networks like HGTV came online. And then in the 2000s, there was an explosion of shows and celebrities that turned the private, boring task of renovation into exciting, aspirational narrative, as Rebecca told us.
The time period you're talking about is very, very much in line with the time period of the rise of aspirational home decor television, HGTV, like DIY, you know, do-over, makeover.
What HGTV and then Instagram taught us is that the standalone pedestal tub is a splurge, but it elevates any old bathroom. So it's as ubiquitous as the farmhouse sink and karate chopped throw pillows. And we see so-called interior porn in like all women's programming. Think of any Nancy Meyers movie. You know, you have like Diane Keaton chopping vegetables in a beautiful cashmere sweater in an all-white kitchen. Hamptons chic, leisurely, but buttoned up.
Mannered, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that changes when Alec Baldwin comes up behind her with a bowl of apples. And you know what happens next.
No. Actually, in It's Complicated, Meryl's in the tub. Guess who's sitting outside that damn tub eating a damn sundae? Baldwin.
And if you think about it, American homes have only really had indoor plumbing for like 100 years. So that's recent enough for fancy bathtubs to be basically a miracle. All those samey post-war homes have since gotten bigger, and the focus has shifted away from communal spaces like, you know, what they called the parlor or the living room, into the private spaces, like bedrooms and bathrooms, which, you know, once upon a time were very utilitarian and very out of the box, and now, of course, are pitched as shrines for self-actualization. But for me, the nightmare scenario of the whole home improvement trend is a visit I took a couple of years ago to Waco, Texas. Waco is sort of a design dystopia run by Chip and Joanna Gaines of the whole Magnolia Lifestyle Complex galaxy.
I know their work well.
Mm-hmm. Modern farmhouse, they call it. And so in Waco, the eerie thing is that the houses and businesses and I swear the exteriors of everywhere all seem to share the same aesthetic of reclaimed wood and like fluty, cursive, inspirational messages. You know, the Magnolia brand. Big farmhouses watching is how I think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So you got Joanna Gaines, who's like a modern superwoman. She has five kids, this goofy, adorable husband, and a giant empire run out of Waco, Texas. And so where does Magnolia now have a home brand? Target, of course, the millennial mecca. Mm-hmm. Because, and I hate to tell you this, Gabby, brands are trying to shape our lives.
Okay, speak on it. Because I don't know that I agree.
Mm-hmm. I figured you might say that.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
So, Gabby, you know I have this charming habit of banging on about conspiracies, certain ones, like Amy Adams trying to use bathing to game the Hollywood system.
You're a Texan crystal ball.
That's right, yeah. No, but so the downside of that is that you can see all sorts of weird connections and feel a little bit like the universe is trying to tell you something, or alternately trying to get you.
This tracks. My favorite brand, in fact. Dennis Rodman once whipped a duffel bag at his head at a Spurs game. Someone was trying to get him then.
That's true. Something happened to me a while ago that, I swear, it seems like it's something out of a movie. Or a life lived with a focus on the cosmic connections among things. I was in San Francisco a few weeks back, and I went to meet with my journalist friend Chris. Now, Chris, he reports on drugs and particularly cannabis in this day and age. And so he says, come to this private club called the Amador. And when I get there, he's hanging out with a guy named Ali Jamalian, who has a cannabis company in SF called Sunset Connect. Ali's a really nice guy. He's a German fellow, knows his wines, knows a lot about a lot of things. So we take our drinks and we go sit out on the balcony in the financial district, which is weird because all the lights are on in all the buildings, but it's mostly depopulated because San Francisco. And so we're sitting on there on the roof deck. And as I do with everyone these past few months, I start talking about why is Amy in the bath, what it's all about. And, you know, normally people are like, oh, that's very interesting. And then you just watch their eyes glaze over and they wander off. But then when I start talking about how we're trying to figure out why there's a tub boom in the 2000s, he leans across the table and says, very seriously, have you looked at the fixtures?
Yeah, you sent me a voice note right after this. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like a real coincidence that he'd know about this.
Coincidence? Or something more than a coincidence, Gabby?
Maybe.
But so I called Ali up the other day to ask about this conversation. Do you remember that?
Oh, no, absolutely. I was weird to hear someone talk about bathtubs and like you gotten into it. So I was like, wow, this is strange because I had to do it for my job at one point. So I felt like there was an immediate sort of cosmic connection when you said that. I'm like, all right, this dude's cool. He's doing something really weird, but I happen to know a little bit about it.
Yeah, so Ali's in the legal cannabis business now. But back in the day, you know, it wasn't legal. And so around the millennium, he gets into some trouble with the authorities.
After I got popped and was on probation here in the U.S. for selling weed, I kind of was burned out. So I wanted to, once I was done with my probation, I wanted to go just get as far away from weed and the feds and law enforcement as possible.
Now, Ali has a background in advertising, in addition to cannabis. So after this, he heads back to his hometown of Dusseldorf, which is an advertising mecca, apparently. And in the late aughts, he starts working with the German fixtures company Grohe, doing promotional videos for, at the time, high-tech faucets that, like, carbonate your water and get hot on their own and all this stuff. And he starts working with a friend who's now a big-deal director of photography for HBO series and Netflix series, all kinds of stuff. And they shoot all of these promotional videos for, like, plumber trade shows. that are extremely fancy. They have this dramatic lighting, and it pans and throws the tubs and faucets in shadow. It's the kind of thing you see now on a lot of Instagram and music videos.
That's how we got them enticed, by giving them visuals that were way ahead of their time, that reminded you more of, you know, an ad for a Mercedes or a Ferrari or a supercar, but it was for faucets, and that's why it worked visually.
And that's why he knew what you were talking about with the 2000s and tubs. You randomly met a guy who was right at the heart of the whole thing.
And that's exactly how it works when you're a holistic journalist, a term I just now made up.
I'm trying to eye roll hard enough that they can hear it through the pod.
Yeah, it sounds squeaky. Anyway, so in our conversation, he confirmed that luxury bathtubs were very in the zeitgeist then.
We were part of sort of the era when those freestanding bathtubs suddenly started to pop up in every Vogue, in every kind of high-end architecture magazine. And I think from then on, it really trickled into film.
And you said he thought it also had to do with shows like MTV's Cribs, mm-hmm. where celebs showed off their status symbols. But also that it was the time when the iPhone appeared, and then Instagram, and all these ways to share this stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
But here's what I think is crazy. The women Groe was marketing these fancy products to were the same ones we talked about in the last episode. These are the women the Gillian Flynn-style psychological thrillers were made for and about.
The target demographic was definitely wealthy female, say 30 to 49. If I look back at the treatments that we ended up developing, they all really highlighted the design aesthetics, also the functionality of what they did, but it was all about the rounded edges, the freestanding bathtub aesthetic.
So this rooftop conversation proved that there was a corporate push to not only put fancy bathtubs in homes worldwide, but also to connect that to the whole wellness, aspirational living thing. Ali sent me a 2010 marketing deck, and check out this advertising language. Quote, "Nevertheless, there's more than ever a desire for simplicity in an overcomplicated, fast-moving world. But also, there is the deep-rooted longing for an emotional connection with a product," end quote.
The idea of feeling an emotional connection with the bathtub fixtures, not just with the general experience of Calgon-ish bathing.
That's right. And that's going to become a lot more explicit once those fixtures start to evolve for a different kind of pleasure.
How about them apples?
Yeah, but this messaging thing is insidious. Consider this. BP Oil, the giant petroleum conglomerate, they invented the concept of the carbon footprint in, guess what, the early 2000s.
What size is your carbon footprint?
How much carbon I produce. Is that it?
You mean the effect that my living has on the earth in terms of the products I consume?
And the whole point was to put the onus for saving the planet from climate change onto the individual with their, you know, plastic bags and blue recycling bins, rather than the massive-ass petroleum companies and nation-states that are absolutely the most significant producers of CO2.
Right, like wellness saying mental health is the responsibility of the individual and not the society.
Exactly, yeah. It's very neoliberal. It's a lot about the individual and our place in it and the idea of freedom to make these changes, which divorces people from their connection to a community and obviously obviates the role of government and business to, you know, get in there and do something about all the trouble they're causing.
Right. You can't recycle that? Skill issue.
Yeah, exactly. Consumer virtue is the new civic virtue.
Ask not what your friendly neighborhood girl boss can do for you, but what you can buy and recycle for your friendly neighborhood girl boss to slay her tax write-off.
Whatever that means. Anyway, Phyllis says this neoliberal consumer virtue stuff all gets put upon who? Whom?
Whom stood it of?
But women.
What the wellness movement asks us to accept as a substitute for, say, being well, which might include, say, all communities at all economic levels having access to clean water and built environments that promulgate health or access to healthy foodstuffs at reasonable costs, that would be a public health piece of progress. But instead, we're asked to take responsibility ourselves, particularly women, because women are also tasked with taking responsibility for their families and for doing the work to figure out what are the right vitamins and how can I reduce my use of plastics and for the policing of the body and the home environment.
All of which means that once upon a time, Marilyn Monroe could swoon about a leisurely soak in the bath.
I love to dress leisurely. I like to soak in the tub, then leisurely.
Which is a sentiment that now becomes a joke, as was presented in Alexander Payne's 2017 movie, Downsizing, where you can only afford that kind of leisure time in a model city called Leisureland if you shrink yourself and, of course, your carbon footprint down to about the size of a dollar bill, which now goes farther since your needs have also been miniaturized.
Yeah, here's Laura Dern, who was David Lynch's muse and is now shackled to a Vitamix at Hello Sunshine HQ.
Oh no, another one bites the dust.
Taking a bubble bath in Downsizing, bragging about all the shit she can afford now that she's living life in miniature.
I finally just got in the tub to relax after such a busy day. First, I took a tennis lesson and had a massage.
Nice.
And then after a gourmet lunch with the girls, well, we couldn't help ourselves, so we popped into that new Loger jewelry store downtown.
Downsizing used sci-fi to talk about class issues, which is usually how class gets talked about in American culture, as opposed to like in serious movies. Because Americans don't feel as uncomfortable thinking about the forces that shape our society when it's like Dune.
Right, yeah. I mean, Baron Harkonnen bathing in black goo, that is the image of 21st century life.
Yeah, it really is. We all feel for that guy and with him. And all this, the way aspirational things like wellness and home improvement shows and the sales strategies of big-ass corporations, all of that explains the extreme weirdness of why fancy clawfoot tubs show up so conspicuously in psychological thrillers aimed at women, who, of course, are the market for clawfoot tubs, which is where wellness happens.
Thus, what Rebecca told us about money almost never being an issue for psychological thriller heroines.
There's something that almost every single one of those books and films has in common, which is that the characters, the white characters in particular, never think about money, never talk about money. Money never seems to be an issue. It's almost like they take it off the board so that they can make other things the tension.
Even in their suffering, they're aspirational.
So all this, the wellness, the home improvement shows, all of it adds up to the 21st century bathroom, which in advertising and movies and TV is aspirational, meaning it's fiction, meaning it's fantasy. But in movies and TV, it's actually a little weirder because that's supposed to represent something like real life. But because of how the bathrooms we see in movies and TV are designed and built, they're distorted in ways that we don't even register when we're watching.
First, when I break down the script, I have to think for the possibility of everything. So with bathrooms, you want to make them beautiful, large, movable to get an entire film crew in there.
This is Jamie McCall. She's been a production designer on shows like American Crime Story and Schmigadoon and Candy. And what we learned from her is that bathrooms on screen are just subtly larger, but not in a way that you'd even notice. And because of all the production needs for the crew, they're often just built on sound stages.
Which means you don't have to follow any of the rules that define a real-world bathroom.
I know that the reason sets are so successful when we build them, or can be so successful, is because we can move walls out of the way. We can cut holes in ceilings. We can fly ceilings away.
That's Ryan Garten. He's a set designer who's worked on sitcoms like Jane the Virgin and action shows like Scorpion. He also worked with Jamie on projects like American Crime Story.
We're not worried about codes, so we're not building a bathroom. It's never practical, so it's never a bathroom that anyone can really use.
Meaning the bathrooms, and therefore the tubs and showers on screens, tend to be unreal spaces. Not spaces people actually use in real life, but spaces that look like spaces people use in real life. They're what I'd call the mundane fantastical.
But they're made by people who draw on their own lives and memories, which, of course, are also shaped by the influences of brands and marketing and all the rest.
It also comes down to personal taste because I'm the one that's choosing the reference photos. Say I choose the blue bathroom over a red bathroom because my favorite color is blue, you know, so it definitely personal taste goes into it a lot and then mixed with a lot of experience.
By the way, Jamie had her own theory about what caused the bathtub boom.
You know, with the industry trying to add more women into TV and filmmaking, into the storyline as main characters, again, it goes back to where does a woman usually go to hide or go to cry in private, like, or hide from her kids or all that. You know, I think the more we see women in TV and film as being the main characters, the more we're going to see bathrooms because it is their domain.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Jamie and Ryan both worked on the Hulu show Candy, based on the real-life story of Candy Montgomery, who had an affair with her neighbor and killed his wife, who was also her best friend. Mm. Brandon, you know this well. This is your countryman, Candy Montgomery.
Is that right? She Texan?
You don't know about this? This is like key Texas lore.
Oh, yeah.
Along with Waco and Chip and Joanna Gaines.
Yeah, we have so many scandals like this in Texas. You just can't keep track of all of them.
Interestingly, both versions of the Candy story, the HBO and the Hulu one, have Candy in the tub. Those who are in the know, you know that the Jessica Biel Candy show has a much more interesting tub scene. Maybe we'll talk about that later or in a bonus After Dark episode. Brandon, please.
All right, we'll put it on the list.
But anyway, Jamie and Ryan dug deep for that choice tub work.
Candy's bathroom is definitely referenced from a friend's bathroom growing up. The Gore House bathroom was a reference to the bathroom I grew up in.
And every single person that walked onto that set was like, oh my gosh, this was my grandparents' house. It's like, well, yeah, it was everybody's grandparents' house. Yeah. Everybody's houses looked the same.
And while it's not real life, still, the aesthetics of HGTV and Goop and Magnolia and all the rest creep in there. So it feels familiar.
Usually when I first get on a project and I have to make a mood board for each character, and that usually represents who they are, their life, their style, you know, in their home. And then within that, especially if the bathroom is a big moment, it'll be a separate board on its own and how we see this coming together.
This is something I never really thought about like this. So in real life, a person designs a bathroom or whatever in their place with stuff they like, colors they like. It's a reflection of them. But on screen, it's all a story. So the sets are designed to move the narrative or like hint at themes or say something about the character.
Yeah, exactly. The set, the people, all of it's part of this interconnected whole. So the bathroom's not just an extension of the character's personality, but actually of the inner workings of the whole universe of the story, Gabby.
Is this holistic journalism again?
This is absolutely holistic journalism. Which takes us right back to the supposed randomness of my encounter with Ali Jamalian up on that San Francisco rooftop, the fancy private club that I could never get into again. Now, he had another story that I didn't even see coming, and that took you and I in a whole different direction. The year is 2010, and Ali gets called to this meeting. The marketing team is there, and it's like 90% women.
Which was really great to work with because they had visions, they were more creative, they weren't too worried about pitching something that was not previously agreed upon. I remember they all walked in one day, and they were all chuckling. Like, cool, we have a briefing for you. Like, all right, cool, what are we shooting? And they started chuckling, and they showed us this which was it's a hand wand and a shower head. And it has all these little, like, you know, rubber nipples, for lack of better words. That's what they're called. And they're like, well, this is called euphoria. And they start chuckling again. And we weren't getting it. And we're like, oh, why is it called euphoria? They're like, well, look at the shape. And women like to use shower wands. And we're like, oh, that's right. Say no more. And they loved it. But they really wanted to communicate that subtly and subliminally in their marketing.
Ah, yes. The big female conspiracy around the shower wand. Mysterious cabals of women infiltrating marketing departments all over the world to secretly disseminate female sexuality. Give me a freaking break.
But that is what it is. That is what it is. But now we're bringing it out into the open. Okay, so the euphoria line is the one that he worked on with the subtle, you know, subtext. And that was made by Groa. But there's another fixtures company called Hans Groa. And this is going to start to sound like a weird fairy tale that the Brothers Grimm created years ago. But so these two guys were brothers. This is a true story. And then they went their separate ways. So a couple of years ago, Hans Groa partners with a German sex toy company called Womanizer to create something called the Wave Clitoral Stimulation Showerhead. Yeah, I guess because euphoria was too subtle. And when I told Ali this, he hadn't heard it, but his reaction was kind of the same as yours.
Just because you can put nouns together doesn't mean you always have to. But that is definitely a very German way to name a product.
So it's overt for sure, the Wave Showerhead. But it does make a holistic, Gabby, kind of sense. Just like the bathtub, follow me here, masturbatory technology has its origins in the ancient past. For as long as there have been genitals, somebody has tried to figure out how to manipulate them. So you got to consider there were the sacred dildos of the Greeks and the Egyptians and what all. That's fine. Everybody knows that. They're taught that in probably elementary school. I don't know. But you can go even further back to probably the Groa boys' ancient ancestors, who were these Paleolithic freaks that left carved phalluses in German caves 25,000 years ago. Absolutely true. And now here we are in 2025 with a showerhead that is just straight up designed first and foremost to get you off, and then perhaps as an afterthought, maybe you get cleaned. The easiest way to think about this comparison is if Groa is all about a, quote, emotional connection with the product, Hans Groa was like, hold my stein.
Okay, hold my beer now.
Uh-oh.
Because, Brandon, I have a question for you. What if we, the people, the girls, the huddled masses, actually want this stuff? You've been arguing that corporations and tastemakers have been selling us on the gorgeous freestanding tub and all its attendant pleasures and violations. But what if corporations and cultural producers, okay, bathtub writers, directors, set designers, what if they're all just capturing or capitalizing on something the huddled masses have been feeling? Something ineffable or elemental. So, like, we've been noodling over the tub for like 3 years, taking crazy data, trying to legitimize a weird question. But think about it. What's happened to the girls since Y2K? We've ostensibly been given the controls to our lives, but each one has kind of felt like a backhand. Social media has bred isolation, and it's made our lives and homes a stage. We have digital selves now, we date online, we get seed funding and girl boss away, and then a series of upsets makes us go belly up over and over. Hillary, Roe v. Wade, Me Too, Time's Up, a global pandemic, Kamala. Maybe we're all just wanting to retreat to the inner sanctum of the tub and guzzle a bunch of mini Tito's bottles in there, like Amy in Sharp Objects. Or maybe we want to watch the so-called safety of the tub suddenly mirror our own wrecked minds, like Natalie Portman in Black Swan. What I'm saying is, what if the tub bloom and its weirdly aesthetic focus on trauma, plus Amy Adams' all-American role in those glammed-up tub freakouts, is actually grassroots? What if it's not at all a conspiracy? What if it's simply the zeitgeist? So something I can't get out of my head is the fact that Probably 8 years ago, the famous Lichtenstein painting, The Drowning Girl, from 1963, was everywhere again. You've seen it. It's classic pop art. It's a pretty girl with indigo hair. She's crying. She's being swallowed up by waves. And her thought bubble reads, "I'd rather sink than call Brad for help." It's very whiny. They were selling prints of this to put on your wall, your laptop, you name it, at like Urban Outfitters. But anyways, The Drowning Girl, it's part of Lichtenstein's so-called Tragic Girls series of heroines that were also damsels, but glamorous and powerful in their victimhood. On that note, it's interesting that the original image Lichtenstein tweaked had a lot more context. It was a beach scene from a DC comic, and yes, this girl was drowning. But here's Lichtenstein's genius. He cut out the landscape and just zoomed in on the face in the waves. So it looks like this girl has cried herself a river, and it takes on this weird, dark new meaning. Instead of "I'd rather sink than call Brad for help," she might as well be saying "I'd rather drown in my own sorrows than call Brad for help." What if we're all the drowning girl? What if we have been since Y2K, or at least since Urban Outfitters started hawking this girl? Don't you ever feel like the woman in the tub across the street from the girl in the window? Or Ophelia in the river? Or the lady of the lake? Like, these are elemental girls. What if we'd actually prefer to sink rather than ask the Brad of Groe or Goop or Netflix or HGTV or especially fucking Irish Spring, who is a total Brad, for a helping hand out of the rising tide of our own tears? Because, like, at least that feels real or honest. Or, to quote our Substack, because it's true. If we're drowning, let us drown. Maybe that's why we have so much aquatic language across these women-led psychological thrillers. Deep water, surface, there's something under the surface you can't figure out or get to, trying to pull you down. It's a feeling. Brandon, we've been acting like we can make data out of this, but I don't know. I don't think you can really take German engineering to the question of the Y2K bathtub. There's something in the water. In the next episode, our final episode, we'll explore this feeling of being stuck in the tub, unable to escape, much like the great diva president, William Howard Taft, who, legend says, was lodged in his clawfoot like Augustus Gloop in the chocolate pump. Or like Amy, forever flailing in one of a series of bathtubs. Trapped in the eternal ennui of water in time loop narratives, forced to feel at all times a deep, not always pleasant, but certainly overstimulating sense of nostalgia. That's next time on Why Is Amy in the Bath? I'm Gabby Lombardo.
And I'm Brandon R. Reynolds.
Deuces. Why Is Amy in the Bath is produced by Brandon and me for Grab Bag Collab. Our show is produced and edited by Livy Burdett, and our theme song and music is by Nathan Reedy. Our logo was created by John Ross. New episodes drop Mondays for Grab Bag subscribers and go wide Fridays. Subscribers to Grab Bag get access to a bunch of cool stuff: extended interviews, more tub data, and some bathtub after dark convos. You will not be disappointed. If you want to sink deeper into the tub with us, email us at amyinthebathpod@gmail.com. Check out our Substack, becauseitstrue.substack.com, where we talk more about our research and the secret history of the movies. Finally, follow us on Letterboxd at amybathpod for curated lists of tub films.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. L-E-T-E-N-E-Y.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.